following is an exclusive presentation of Ravens Productions.
I believe in this football team. There's no question in my mind that this team is destined for some very special things.
Every time we line up, we got to earn the right to wear this logo. Don't say it unless you mean it. Ravens on three. One, two, three. Ravens.
It all comes down to this. The Ravens need to beat the Browns, and the Chiefs need to beat the Chargers for the Ravens to advance to the playoffs. Welcome into Ravens Report, and happy holidays to you and your family. I'm Jerry Sandusky. Christopher Brissett has the holiday off. Well, the Ravens know that their task starts with beating Cleveland for a 13th time in their last 14 meetings. And as we take a look at the matchup between these two teams, you have to think the run game will play a big role in the outcome of the Week 17 showdown. The Ravens with a number 7 rushing attack in the NFL going against Cleveland's run defense, which is dead last in the league. The advantage there obviously pointing in the Ravens' direction. And now in their 19th season, the Ravens have watched their fan base grow literally across the country. But this past week, they found out that their fans also extend literally out of this world. Baltimore native and NASA astronaut Reid Weissman had a chance to visit with Ravens players and speak to the team about his unique perspective on the big picture.
Expedition 41 flight engineers Reid Weissman and Barry Wilmore of NASA replaced a failed voltage regulation device to restore the station's electrical power output to full capacity.
I'm out there doing my second spacewalk. It was 6.5 hours out there, and I was pretty drained at the end of that, mentally, physically. It's probably what you guys feel like after the end of, like, the Steelers, I think. And I came back inside, and I was whipped up and proud of myself and pat myself on the back a lot. And after I came back in, we get a little debrief, and it's a little video debrief with the guys on the ground that we worked with. And the camera pops up from Houston, and I'm not looking at one or two folks, but I'm looking at a team of like 40 people, men and women, and they're all cheering and they're pumped up, and that's when it hit me that I'm like this little tiny piece at the top of the puzzle, and yet the reason I'm alive is because all these people came together, not for the glory, but just for doing something better, something bigger than themselves.
U.S. Navy Commander Reid Weissman grew up in the suburbs of Baltimore, Maryland, far enough away from the city to be able to enjoy nature, learn about the world.
For me and my brother growing up, on the Lock Haven Reservoir and hiking every day, and just we were just living a golden life. We didn't know it at the time, but looking back, you know, it's just what a great place to grow up. But Baltimore's really, it's a great sports town. So you got baseball, and of course now with the Ravens, that's kind of the heart and soul of the city, in my opinion. So how did I end up here at NASA? Really, it's just a lot of luck when it all boils down to it. I came out of high school, I got an engineering degree in college, and then I jumped right into the Navy with a commissioning in the Navy as a pilot. And I flew for about 12 years, became a test pilot, and then applied to NASA, and that's really where the luck just struck. And next thing you know, I'm down in Houston, and 5 years later, I'm in space. It's just been a dream ride. I got 2 girls, yeah, 6 and 8, yeah, and they are purple crazy. I mean, it's incredible. It's 166 days, it's almost 6 months.
Just that.
No, it was pretty big. I mean, yes, it's about the size of a 747 inside. So you got some room to move around, but it's tight. We're long duration astronauts on the International Space Station. That's our mission, to spend 6 months in space and to see what it does to our body, and then to conduct a lot of scientific research.
The astronauts shared a one-of-a-kind look at the phenomenon of surface tension when they submerged a GoPro camera inside a softball-sized floating water blob.
You kind of are a professional athlete when you're training down here. This is extremely physically demanding. So I spend about 1.5 to 2 hours a day in the gym. And really why we're doing that is, first of all, I got to get my bones really healthy to fly because they're going to decay while I'm in space. I came into NASA as a runner, and now I'm really a weightlifter with a little bit of run. It doesn't really look like it, but I'm a weightlifter for NASA's perspective. The Ravens would laugh at that comment. The thing that blew me away with the photos and the video is you cannot help but look outside and have to grab a camera and take a picture when you're in space. The beauty is so intense. And you just, as a human, you want to share this because you spent your whole life thinking about it, And now here you are. You grab a camera, you shoot a picture. And how lucky are we that we live in this world of social media and I can just fire this off, not to my family and friends, but to 300,000 people. The first time we flew over Maryland, I was really excited. And I go down to our big cupola where we have all the windows. And you can look all the way around 360 degrees down at Earth. And we had flown over the Great Lakes and we were coming down over the Chesapeake Bay. And I totally missed it because I didn't realize how close the Chesapeake Bay ends to the Great Lakes. But from space, they're right next to each other. And so I spent all this time looking at the Great Lakes, and then I saw this little river, and then I'm over the Atlantic, and I was incredibly confused. And then over time, I realized that that's Baltimore, that's Chicago, they're right next to each other. I mean, to me, it was kind of crazy. So we get one channel of live TV uplinked to us, and we have it about 80% of the time. And so Sundays, once football season started, we would gather around our dinner table, and it was night for us, kind of evening time. But we would always watch that 1 o'clock game. And if the Ravens were on, or one of my buddies is from Tennessee, so if the Titans were on, we were watching that for sure. My two Ravens Super Bowl experiences, I've never gotten to watch the Ravens here in the United States of America. So in 2000, I was actually at sea on an aircraft carrier in the Middle East with the Navy. And I stayed up very, very late to watch that. I think the game ended around 4 or 5 in the morning, and I was a lone soldier in our ready room watching that over a satellite feed. Really choppy video, but good enough to see the victory. And then in 2012, I just happened to be in Russia training for the mission. And so I watched it in the basement of my apartment over there in Russia on a big TV. And of course, another great victory. And that one rolled into breakfast time. So we just rolled straight from there into breakfast and then over into class and keep on training. My folks are in town, and they're born and raised in Baltimore. And so we're going to all go out to the game tomorrow. And there will be a little tiny section of purple among the sea of Texans blue, but we'll be cheering loud.
Coming up on Ravens Report, we'll visit with head coach John Harbaugh.
Ravens Report is brought to you by MedStar Health, the official medical team of the Baltimore Ravens. By M&T Bank, proud to be the official bank of your Baltimore Ravens. By University of Maryland University College, and by Under Armour.
Welcome back to Ravens Report. As we do each week, time to visit with head coach John Harbaugh. Coach, happy holidays. Great
Sure.
to visit with
Save you.
Save you.
Merry Christmas.
This time of the year, we have to have a conversation that includes the word wise men. So let's talk about Reed Wiseman. You had a chance to visit with a Baltimore native and the NASA astronaut. He spoke to your team last week. Yeah. And I just thought it was so powerful that somebody who has literally a big picture perspective, what was his message and what was your takeaway?
He had a wise message. I mean, it was a message about what it takes to literally stand on top of the world, you know, to be that guy. And what he talked about with all the steps along the way that put a guy like him in position, they cracked me up, you know. We were in such awe of what he did because we saw his earlier video and we kind of gave the guys a little background on what he accomplished. And he said, yeah, you know, I was a fighter pilot and I worked my way to the top and now at the top of the astronaut program and I have a chance to walk in space. And he was in space when he actually sent us the message. And he goes, but that's nothing compared to what you do.
Like, Reed, do you understand what we do? That's great.
Tremendous guy. He talked about teamwork and talked about all the people that help you along the way.
Experience is such a huge teacher in football, in aeronautics, in any walk of life. People have talked about the pressure you face this week. But you have the experience, because, John, we've had this conversation for a month now. Every week has been a must-win. Right. How has that helped your guys prepare for another must-win game?
Well, it does, and we've been in that situation before, and we've got to be at our best. And we've been at our best for the most part, but we haven't been at our best enough. You know, if we had been at our best enough, then we wouldn't be in a situation where we were in a do-or-die, where we didn't control our own fate. We would be in a do-or-die, but we would control our own destiny. So it's up to us. We've got to get the job done. We've got to play our best football and really execute. You know, we're going to be fired up. We're going to be emotional. We better be. But we have to execute, and we have to play our best football against a very determined Cleveland team. And we've got to make them feel us. And we've got to make it the kind of game that the Ravens fans can be proud of.
You have another week with an unknown opposing quarterback. You might see Brian Hoyer. You might see Connor Shaw. How does that complicate your preparations when it isn't clear exactly who you're going to see and what they might do?
Well, you've got to prepare for more offense, you know. But it wasn't too much different before when you weren't sure if you're going to get Brian or Johnny Manziel, because those two guys, they run the same offense, but they major in different areas of the offense. So that's how we've prepared. It's the Cleveland offense, but we've worked on, you know, the different areas of the offense that each of those quarterbacks, you know, might be more apt to run. We'll do a little more option football, a little more runaround football with Connor Shaw. And then, of course, Thigpen, we feel like it's Hoyer or Thigpen kind of in the same, a little more drop back, a little more quick game, a little more standard NFL offense. But either one, we know they're going to run the ball. We know it's going to be important for them to play a physical football game. We know we're going to get play action. We know we're going to get some tricks. And those are the things we're working on.
With the holiday, Christmas, you gave your players and your staff off on Christmas Day. How did you spend yours, and did you see a little boost around the facility when everybody came back, having had a day off in the middle of the week?
Guys were great. Guys were great this morning. They were ready to go back to work. You know, I had to grab their attention a little bit. You know, we had a little – we did show that holiday
the Christmas video?
The Christmas video, yeah.
Hey, Brandon Williams can sing.
He can. He's impressive. And Tucker, of course, you know, he's a superstar singer. You know, that'll be his next profession.
Now, you didn't get talked into that, by the way, I noticed.
Oh, God, no. No way. No, that would never happen.
What would be your go-to Christmas carol if you had to?
My go-to Christmas carol? Noel. First Noel. I love that song. Can't sing it.
But you love it.
Love listening to it. But as far as, what was the question?
How did you spend your Christmas?
Oh, great. We were together, family. We were home. We went and saw a movie, actually. We went and saw Unbroken. And I would highly recommend it to anybody out there. It's a great movie, great message.
And the message is you can overcome anything if you believe in it.
That's right. If you can take it, you can make it.
And, Coach, you can make it this week.
Yes, sir.
So make them take it.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right, Coach. Merry Christmas. Good luck against the Browns. Well, this week, Ravens players had the holiday spirit on and off the field. Several players taking the time to share smiles with Ravens fans who had to spend the holiday in the hospital at Johns Hopkins.
We're at Johns Hopkins here at the children's side of the hospital, going out visiting kids, you know, being able to come here, put a smile on their face, meet their parents, you know, been supporting them, being able to encourage them, being able to put a smile on their face as well. It's been exciting, and you know, it's all a part of giving back in this holiday season.
Want to shake your hand? How you doing?
When you know that you're the reason for them smiling like that, I mean, it's something special. Like I said, I got two kids of my own, and I enjoy being around them every day, so. Being able to come here and to just do that alone, it's special.
It's always a great time to do so, really just having that chance to give what we've received, you know, from our experience and just making their days bright.
Amanda, I just want to say I love the way you're color coordinating right now. Like your outfit right now.
So I'm actually smiling now. There's been weeks where I haven't smiled at all, but it just brings some joy to people's heart, I think. Just seeing that, knowing that big people out there really do care. And I got signatures by them on my hat.
I'm the little short guy in the middle. You see? Down at the bottom. Yeah, he's searching for me. It's all good, man. Yeah, he was. There you go.
Still to come on a Ravens report, Kadri Ismail sits down with defensive coordinator Dean Pees. Hey, Ravens fans, make sure you download the new Ravens iPad app, available in the App Store.
There's a lot of people got to think ahead that the Ravens organization, Steve Bisciotti and Ozzie Newsom for drafting me here first. Then the defensive line for helping me get through tackles and help keep people off me. And first, and also Darrell Smith and the inside linebacker core, Coach Wink. And Coach Dean Pees, you know, just believe in me and trust me and let me actually be able to play this defense.
C.J. Mosley, one of three players the Ravens will send to this year's Pro Bowl. He'll be joined by outside linebacker Elvis Dumervil and offensive guard Marshall Yanda. And in going to the Pro Bowl, C.J. Mosley sets a franchise first. He becomes the first Ravens rookie ever to earn a spot on the Pro Bowl squad, something that even Hall of Famer Jonathan Ogden and future Hall of Famer Ray Lewis weren't able to do as Ravens rookies. And as we pull into Week 17 of the regular season, C.J. Mosley is the only player in the NFL who has at least 115 tackles, 3 sacks, and 2 interceptions this season. As for Elvis Dumervil, he set the new franchise single-season record for sacks and sack yardage this year en route to his 4th trip to the Pro Bowl. And Marshall Yanda, the 8-year veteran, has earned a 4th straight trip to the Pro Bowl, the anchor of an offensive line that gave up the 2nd fewest sacks in the NFL this season and opened holes for Justin Forsett, who broke the 1,000-yard rushing mark as the 6th leading rusher in the NFL. But the task at hand, of course, is not yet the Pro Bowl. It's the Cleveland Browns. So Kadri Ismail and defensive coordinator Dean Pees make a case for the defense this week against Cleveland.
Thanks, Jerry. Well,
Dean, I think this is one of those classic games where it's a bend but don't break scenario for the defense. Gave up 6 field goals, but in the end it was not enough. The team comes away with an L. However, you got to sit there and look at the film. What did you take away from it?
Well, I don't think I've ever graded a film quite like this one, Q. We had 7 3 and outs in this game. We held the quarterback to a 50.2 quarterback rating, under 50% pass. They were 1 of 7 in the red zone. Sure. And we had 5 sudden changes. And the only touchdown that they got was on a halfback pass that really was a tough play for us. And the way it worked out, the tight end didn't get out clean, so nobody could see him. They made a play on us.
Coach, obviously, you look at that film, you grade it, but then you're also looking at the fact that Cleveland's going to come to town. You got some film as far as what you're going to present to your guys, what they present.
Well, here's the thing that I think Brian Hoyer, now I don't know who we're going to see necessarily at quarterback, but one of the things I told you the first time that we played him, I had a lot of respect for Brian Hoyer. I got background with him at Michigan State, got background with him at New England. And I think what he does is he does a great job of putting them in good plays. Now, this is the last game, and what they want to run the ball. And this is what they do best right here, is this zone scheme, and they get a cut back here. Now, the other part of that is, and if you remember back to our first game, here's what we got to guard against, is we gave up big plays in that game. They only averaged 2.8 yards a carry in the run game. Mm-hmm. But we gave up some big plays. We gave up a 70-yard pass play. We gave up a 50-yard pass play. And this is what they do, is they set things up with the running game. They come back. They give you kind of a run formation again. Brian's checking the play right here. Does a good job, gets them in a different set, mm-hmm. reads something in the secondary here against the Colts, which is a very similar defensive style
right.
to what we play. All of a sudden now it's a play action, it's a shot, got the tight end who's a great player. Cameron's a heck of a tight end, one of the best in this league. Now I'm going to show you another one here against Atlanta just to kind of go back. He does a good job. He's already checked him, comes back. Now all of a sudden this is in a key situation here. This is what Hoyer does best. He evades the rush. This was in the 2 minute at the end of the game to win the game, and he makes a clutch play. That's the thing that we got to guard against right now is, to me, stop the run
yes.
and do not give up the big play.
Coach, when you look at giving up big plays or trying to prevent it, you obviously have to do it either with pressure and also with coverage. The one guy that I thought came in and really held up fairly well was Rashawn Melvin. Talk about him and introduce him to Raven Nation.
Well, it was really interesting because, Rashawn's only been with us a couple of weeks here and kind of came off the Tampa Bay practice squad. But he had been with them and actually been active a couple games the year before, and we really kind of liked him. He's long, he's tall. Kind of reminds me of Kerry Williams in some ways.
Sure.
And, he's been here, and so he kind of learned the system for a couple weeks. We got him in a little bit, a week ago at home. Mm-hmm. And then this last game, what I really liked about it was the fact that they opened up the very first play of the game and throw one down there to Andre Johnson on him. And it's a great throw, and it's a nice catch, and it's a 38-yard gain. Well, the kid did not go in the tank. What he did was he came back, and they threw 3 more balls down his
right.
way, and he defended every one of them. So that tells me a lot about, you got to have a short memory as a corner, and that told me an awful lot about him and his character.
Excellent. Well, I know that we'll be looking forward to seeing him as well as the defense continue to do their thing against the Cleveland Browns.
I appreciate it, Q. Thanks.
Absolutely. And back to you, Jerry.
Thanks, Q. Obviously, the Ravens need a win against the Browns this week. But for some in Baltimore this holiday season, the need list is far more basic than that. And Ravens wide receiver and special team star Jacoby Jones took time out of his holiday season to help address that issue.
You know, there's a lot of people out here on the streets, that don't have homes or their families turning their back on them or don't have a family. And it's cold out here, and especially we're in Baltimore, it's real cold. Sometimes it snows and everything. So me and my family, my mom, we bought 100 sleeping bags and tried to pass them out to the homeless so they could at least try to have some kind of warmth.
Here you go, baby. My man. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Joe.
Yes, sir.
You're off the hook, man.
For sure.
Thanks.
Ravens Report is brought to you by MedStar Health, the official medical team of the Baltimore Ravens. By M&T Bank, proud to be the official bank of your Baltimore Ravens. by University of Maryland University College, and by Under Armour.
Welcome back to Ravens Report. This week, the Ravens try to bounce back from the toughest loss of the season, a 12-point heartbreak last week in Houston, in which Joe Flacco suffered through the worst half of his career. But keep this in mind. In the four worst performances of Flacco's career, each time the following week, his quarterback rating has soared to over 100. So John Eisenberg helps put the whole thing into perspective because the Ravens have a history of bouncing back.
After the Ravens lost in Houston last Sunday, I heard it suggested that, quote unquote, that was the worst Ravens game ever. The sentiment was expressed in frustration, which I get. The Ravens had a lot on the line and laid an egg. It was a hard game to watch. But the worst ever? Whoa. The Ravens have endured some dark days in their history, a lot darker than last Sunday, frankly. Pittsburgh beat them 37-0 in 1997, 38-7 a decade later. Jacksonville beat them 6-3 in 1999. I was on hand for that, and believe me, a trip to the dentist was preferable. In John Harbaugh's first season, the Ravens lost to Indianapolis, 31-3. They wound up playing in the AFC title game that year. In 2012, they went to Houston and lost 43-13, a more lopsided drubbing than last Sunday's. That year, they won the Super Bowl. So, yes, last Sunday was painful, but it wasn't the worst game ever, and it didn't mean the Ravens should just close up shop for the year. They have passed this way before.
Thanks, John, for sharing that. A little perspective goes a long way this time of the year. So if the Ravens beat the Browns and the Chiefs beat the Chargers, then Krista Brissett and I will join you again next week, and we'll continue the conversation, this time along the lines of the playoffs. Thanks for joining us throughout the season. From the entire Ravens production team, here's hoping we continue to talk about Ravens and postseason next week. I'm Jerry Sandusky. Thanks for being with us on Ravens Report.